there are some jobs you think about people doing and you're like, far out, that is a tough job. And it must take a fair bit of grit to step up to this plate. Joe Acker has been appointed now as head of Ambulance Tasmania. He's been acting in that role for a while and in the industry for, well, most of his career. But I thought it'd be a good chance to get to know him and see what his strategies are for an area that's been so much discussed in the last few years in the South particularly. G'day, Joe.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for having me this morning.
Look, thanks for turning up. You know, I think making yourself publicly available is always quite challenging. When we think ambulance in Tasmania, it's hard not to instantly go ramping paramedic pay. There's such big issues at the front of this industry. Why did you want to take on this leadership role now?
I came to Tasmania, well, number one, because it's Tasmania. It's a beautiful place to live. I've been hearing about your wage discussion this morning, and what we're missing of that is this is an awesome place to live. So coming here back to Australia, I lived here for 7 years in New South Wales, but also to take on a number of the challenges that the ambulance service is facing. It's an exciting time for paramedics and our healthcare systems. And coming into Tasmania right now is exciting for me because we've got support from the political spectrum. We've got a lot of investment coming into the ambulance service. We've got a great health executive that's leading a lot of change. And I think it's a time where we can do things a lot different than we've done in the past.
What background do you bring to this? Where have you worked? You've done time in Canada?
I started my career in Edmonton, so in Alberta, Canada. I spent a number of years there doing both air ambulance and ground ambulance and then transitioning a big health system. Then I came over to New South Wales, where I taught at Charles Sturt University, paramedic program for undergrads and postgrad students, and worked for New South Wales Ambulance. I went back to Canada into Vancouver for the director of operations in Vancouver, where we were experiencing a significant opioid overdose crisis and then right into COVID. And now I'm coming back here to continue my career and also to come back to Australia.
When you look at our ambulance service compared to other services that you've worked in and around, seen, talked about with colleagues, I mean, we're told it's dire. What do you see?
I see a system that has a number of challenges facing it, but I also see a system that has incredible people involved in it that are really passionate about the community. When I meet our paramedics, call takers, dispatchers, volunteers, they're incredibly committed to the system. They're incredibly committed to the patients they serve. And that's what we need to have a successful service. As I said, there's been a new investment over the last number of years. For example, we're adding 48 paramedics, coming right up, which we're desperately needed. And also we've got some creativity and innovation around how we're going to do business going forward that will not only change our paramedics work, make it a lot better environment for them to work in, but we'll also provide much better patient care to our citizens in the community.
Rich, texting in on 0438922936 to Joe Acker from Ambulance Tasmania, the new head, asks, can you ask if your resources are so limited, how do you decide which cases are emergencies and which aren't?
So when a person calls 000 and the call is received by an emergency call taker who's a trained individual who runs through a triage set of questions and identifies if that patient needs an ambulance immediately or if we can do something different, either send an ambulance a little bit later or what we do now, and you've probably seen some of the commercials on television, is to have one of our clinicians in our state operations center talk to that patient. And the goal there is for our very experienced and trained nurses and paramedics to identify opportunities for that patient to provide some self-care, perhaps, or refer them to some other health profession. So we can transfer them to a crisis line if it's a mental health issue. We can transfer them to a GP assist to give them some GP services or a pharmacy, or we can send one of our very experienced extended care paramedics. So we have a lot of information that's happening in the background to determine the severity of the call so that we can use our emergency resources most appropriately.
You can get the ambulance service absolutely cracking, Joe, and then you're driving people to a hospital that can't take the patients. Ramping's been such a big problem. How do you influence the health system to get that interconnection to work? Can ramping end?
I think that we're going to see periods of ramping forever. It's just a nature of the supply and demand within the healthcare system. What we need to do is manage it much better so that it's not impacting systems that make them so perilous in terms of getting to the point of failure. Now, offload delay is an international phenomenon. I experienced it in Canada. I certainly dealt with it when I was in New South Wales. This is something that every modern healthcare system is dealing with. What we need to do in Tasmania is to change the way paramedics and ambulance do business. So up until now, what's worked for us mostly is when somebody calls 000, we send an ambulance, the paramedics provide care, take the patient to the emergency department, and the hospital takes over. We're experiencing massive call growth, not only in the ambulance service, but in the health system. So since last year to this year, ambulance is experiencing 8.9% increase in call volume. We can't put resources, continue to put resources on that will meet that demand. We need to do things differently. So our very experienced paramedics who are degree trained now, they've been nationally registered health professionals since 2018, can do things differently. We can treat patients in their homes. We can transport them to non-hospitals where they get probably the care that they need. For example, a mental health patient shouldn't be going to the emergency department, or somebody with palliative care, or a frail elderly patient. We can do things a lot differently to provide better care, more timely care, and also take some of that burden off the emergency departments.
That relies on the mental health system being resourced, on palliative care being resourced, all of those things. And also that level of trust and responsibility for paramedics, will that be reflected in pay and conditions?
It will continue to do that. And the paying conditions for paramedics in Tasmania are quite good. It's a place that people want to come now. When we put out a posting for paramedics, we get between 600 to 900 applications. So it is a service that people want to work for. Now, when they do come here, though, they are very, very busy. It's a very busy service. They have a lot of responsibility that paramedics on the mainland might not have. You know, we have single paramedics in rural and remote stations working with volunteers that are managing patient situations by themselves until we can get more resources to them or until we can get a helicopter to them. So it's a very difficult, very exciting, and very rewarding job in Tasmania.
So
my goal is to make it even better and more exciting for our paramedics to feel valued in the work they do.
Do we need more places to talk people? What about new ambulance stations such as the one proposed in Glenorchy? Do we need one there? Do we need one in the Deep South? Do we need one in the Midlands?
We absolutely do. And we've got an aggressive plan for our capital infrastructure with lots of support from government. So we're, a plan for a station in Burnie and Glenorchy. We're looking at Strawn, replacements in Queenstown. So we've got a number of capital projects on the go to provide better response times in the communities, better accommodation for the paramedics, and also to provide some emergency management contingency if there's an emergency in the community.
I wish you all the best, Joe.
Thanks, Rick.